Lynn, we cannot hear you online.
We just don't have our mics on. Sorry. We're going to start the meeting. Can you hear us now?
Are we ready to start?
Yes, we can hear now, and Dr. Fowler is on.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Fowler.
All right, so are we ready to call this meeting to order then?
I think so.
Okay. All right, boys and girls, we're going to call this meeting to order. Welcome.
Kim Fisher.
Okay, terrific. All right, we're ready to get started. We have a pretty short agenda today, so unfortunately our folks from Prairie Land are not going to be attending, either in person or by Zoom, so I'm sure we'll reschedule that for 2024 at some point, relatively soon, but we're glad you're all here. And we need to do the roll call.
Kim Fisher.
Here.
Susan Fowler.
Here on Zoom.
Vicki Nyswander.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Georgiana Schuster.
Here.
Here. Is yours working?
I don't know.
Maybe we should just share.
Here.
I think you turn one off and turn the other on.
She's coming clear through the virtual
plan. I could hear you a little bit, so you're good.
I'm all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. All right, then. Approval of the agenda is on next. I don't remember voting on an agenda before, but we do, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so we need a motion to approve the agenda.
I move to approve the agenda, and a little aside, when it's the Prairie Land Independent Service Coordination presentation, we might have a little discussion about their materials.
Yeah, I would like that too. I wasn't taking it off the agenda. And you're seconding, Kim. Thank you. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, that sounds unanimous to me. We have the schedules and timelines under number 4, the acronyms and glossary under number 5. Do we have any citizen input, public participation? On Zoom, maybe? Okay.
Nope.
All right, then. Moving on. My comments are next. I just wanted to fill you in on my activities last week. There was an open house at Choate Developmental Center down in Anna. I got the notification of that, and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go and check that out. And it was a provider expo. I spoke to Melissa Thompson from DDD when I was down there. She's the organizer of it, and I had emailed them because I had questions about what the event was. Unfortunately, their email that was listed on the poster bounced. So I didn't get my questions answered, but I drove all the way down to Anna, and they had probably a dozen providers there, and the intent was to invite family members in of people who lived at Choate to learn about other possible options. And I thought, well, that's great. But there really weren't any parents there except for two that were sitting at a table representing the parent group. But, you know, it's a start. The state is, they're telling me now that, well, they're going to have these open houses at all of the SODCs in the state. So that will be interesting to see as, you know, we come to the new year. I think that's probably in the spring they'll start doing them other places. But mainly it was a time for the residents at Choate to come and pick up, you know, candy and doodads and stuff like that, and they had a great time with it, so awesome. But progress is being made, I guess. They're calling their email is ddd.transformation@gmail.com, or no, illinois.gov. Don't bother emailing them. doesn't work, but, you know, it's a new initiative, and I found it to be very interesting. So I'll try and share more information as I sort through all the stuff I brought back. That's all from me.
Okay.
There's not a lot of business, as you said, on this meeting, but there is a lot of room for discussion, and I think folks have other obligations to get to. So I'm looking forward to the discussion, but I also know, like, we got to mind the time. And in the spirit of minding the time, I'll just say that I attended our State Association membership meeting, what was it, like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and there's always a lot of great information that's, you know, directly presented to us. For example, some attorneys who are municipal attorneys with expertise in supporting mental health and DD boards presented on board governance, and there are just a few things that we might do to tighten up our processes to catch up with changing laws and changing standards. But there's also great information just from sitting with people and talking to them a little more. And the best thing that happened was everyone at my table was in this business because they had a family member or neighbor, someone from childhood who had a developmental disability. So that just felt like the good news of our meeting. There was so much bad news otherwise, and that I'll say into that. There's, you know, the state has canceled its plan to issue a NOFO for the independent service coordination contracts, which is good because of not disrupting services. I'm not sure if they have a plan to improve those contracts. This, you know, the shift from our local provider doing the ISC work here to Prairieland providing it. It's too soon to tell how that's going for families and individuals. Maybe y'all have some sense of it, but that type of disruption is what people objected to from the NOFA process, which also turned out not to be like super fair the last time they did it. So I'm glad they decided not to do that. So that's good news. And the bad news is that in spite of the DSP rate increases, which they deserve more coalition has pushed for forever. So the rate increases have now, like, will now be coming into play in 2024, I think two stages, maybe, I'm not sure, maybe. But anyway, the worst thing is cutting hours. So, we sort of could have guessed that the state would have to do something to control how much they're spending. So the cuts in hours could be a really important topic for all of us, maybe today, maybe later. So that's like the worst news, I think, kind of. Well, there's worse news, and you shared, I mean, Shoats still exists, and
still
there's
exists,
still trouble
right.
in Mabley. So anyway, like closer to home, we have completed all of the application forms for PY25. They're very similar to last year, with an exception, which Mrs. Nicewander provided us some different language for the anti-stigma part and inclusion part of the application. So if you have applications which are going to, we also cloned everything from this year into the PY25. So if you rely on that process and simply go in and edit old forms to pull them into PY25, pay attention to the question, because the questions are different. They're really focused more on individual. And there's also a change in the, like, if efforts to serve historically underinvested populations are fully explained in the CLC plan, and there's nothing specific to the program, you don't need to repeat them. So those are just little changes like that. We've already cloned. We've already set up the system. It'll open at 8 a.m. on this Friday. The question has drifted back to me about why are we opening it right before the holidays, and I feel like, well, it's so that you can have 7.5 weeks to work on instead of 5. To my knowledge, a lot of people do work over the holidays and on the weekends. I'm pretty sure of that based on the emails and phone calls and questions that I get and when they come. So we thought this would be helpful, but it might not be. And if it's not helpful, we can go back to the old timeline and take our time approving priorities and getting the system set up. But it's all ready to go. And so December 22nd to February 12th, so the deadline this year is a Monday, so that we'll have time to process whatever gets submitted and get the list of successful applications into the next board packet so that discussion can begin immediately. So I like that in this group, a lot of agency representatives come to every meeting. So I think you're well set up to have discussions about applications as early as you'd like to.
That's good news.
It is good news. So the one last thing is audits, compilations, and financial reviews, whichever that's based on your agency's total revenue, are all due. They should be completed, approved by your board, and then sent to us before New Year's Eve. And if they're not going to meet that timeline, we need you to do some things. We can't grant extensions as staff. We'll need you to prepare something for the board to look at in January if there's going to be a late audit. It's not a staff are not able to grant those extensions. So anyway, that's it.
Okay.
I think that's it, yeah.
All right, moving on to approval of the minutes from last month. We need a motion.
I move to approve the minutes as printed.
Thank you. And a second.
I will second.
Okay, thank you, Georgiana. Any other discussion, any corrections or whatever? They look pretty good to me. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion is carried. Next item is the vendor invoice lists, page 20 to 22. We'll need a motion to accept that.
So moved.
Thank you. A second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Pretty straightforward this time. Yes.
There is one change.
Oh.
Maybe Chris should explain it. It is thanks to a board member asking an actually very important question before a meeting, and then Chris and I talked about it. And Chris, do you want to explain what you did?
Is this about the second report?
Yeah.
Yeah,
how you
done
with that.
So the vendor invoice list has very limited space for a description. So not all of the transactions are completely transparent. Mm. I found a second report in our online system which allows me to provide more information related to these transactions. So it's my intention to include that report as supplementary information in the board packet, in case there's any questions about what a payment's for.
So there will be two reports?
Correct.
But instead of creating two reports, you were able to get the name of the program on the report.
Yeah, I was able to modify it a little bit, but mm-hmm. It's still not perfect.
Okay. So next month's report will have two. I mean, next month's booklet will have two reports in it.
Twice as much paper.
Twice as
much. More paper, right?
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you for that. All those in favor of approving, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Next on the agenda is staff reports, but those are deferred, and a holiday greeting is included instead. So, happy holiday.
It's very simple.
Thank you, staff.
Very simple. New business. Prairieland Independent Service Coordination is on the agenda. They provided some materials, page 24 to 34, but they will not be attending today. So, I think we're still going to have a little discussion about some of that material.
One thing to point out is their contact information is in the packet, and that as soon as we were putting this packet together, somebody needed that number. So if you all get those kind of calls or trying to direct people, there are two folks with contact information there. So nice to have.
Okay. So how do we want to proceed with the conversation about this material?
Well, could we have questions?
Well, I have a question to start out with. I should know more about this, but I don't. So maybe Lynn can give a little background. as to what this organization is and why they are important to us. Right now, what they're going to be doing for people in our community.
I'm asking Kit.
That one doesn't work.
It's still not working.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I can share a little bit.
Thank you.
They will be they actually are, the Independent Service Coordination Unit for Champaign County. They took over Champaign County for the Regional Planning Commission, who was previously doing this work. So as part of their role as the Independent Service Coordination Unit, they will be enrolling people in PUNS who are not currently on the list. They'll be updating PUNS. And they'll also be doing the ISC or the, excuse me, the independent, the service support and advocacy. So they'll be doing quarterly, I think it's still quarterly visits. They'll be doing the person-centered plans for people, the conflict-free case management. Everything that the Regional Planning Commission was previously doing, Prairie Land will be taking over that role and doing that.
Thank you for that, Kim. I kind of had that idea, but I wanted to have that stated exactly. And the closest office to Champaign-Urbana is Decatur.
Yes.
Correct. They do have an office in Decatur. On the back of their brochure, it does show that they have a large region that they are the ISC for back in 2000, I think it was 18 or 19 when they previously did the NOFO and agencies were able to apply to serve other locations, they took over a few other areas. So they do have offices in Galesburg and Maryville, Illinois, which I'm not sure where Maryville is. But the closest to us is
down near East St. Louis.
I think that some of the folks who previously worked for Champaign County Regional Planning are now working for Prairie Land. And so if those people had switched from one agency to the other, services continued for a lot of folks without interruption. I'm not sure about those who were assigned new ISPs. But for my own daughter, it's been working out fine. But I can't proclaim that everyone's doing well with it at this point.
Dr. Fowler is ready to comment.
Can I make a comment?
Absolutely, Susan.
Thank you. I'll lower my hand when I'm done. So I had a very pleasant conversation, which I initiated with Prairie Lands after our last board meeting, to find out when it was likely that they would be in touch with me as a parent of a young adult receiving PUNS. And they gave me a call back and said that it should be fairly soon. So our last board meeting was November. I haven't heard anything. I know it's a busy time of year. They documented his last visit was in February of 23 and said it should be happening quarterly. And I said, it has never happened quarterly, that we're not currently in crisis, but I would be concerned that if we were in crisis, that, you know, that we'd be able to get attention. I think they assured me that that was so, but I will say I am concerned that they cover 27 counties, mm-hmm. and I know that it can really take time to get started. I also know from working with some other families that there are two gentlemen whose names were pulled for receiving PUNS 5 months ago, and the paperwork still has not started for them. And an advocate that I work with has now contacted Mr. Faraci, Ms. Ammons, and Mr. Rose to express concern that although these people were on the wait list for 5 years, were approved in July, no one has contacted their guardian yet about starting paperwork. So I think that there are probably many reasons that not everybody is getting served immediately, but that we really must monitor it and ensure that those who are waiting can get started. Because I will say, as someone whose son was on the wait list for 7 years, I wanted to immediately start getting the paperwork in place so that services could start. Because many people are engaging in private pay or just lacking services until this comes in. So I think it's a little too early to make a decision about how things are going, but I think that we need to monitor. And I was a bit shocked when I realized that they covered 27 of the 105 counties in the state. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this, like I said, you know, for a couple of people, it's going okay. But, yeah, I can hear that what must be very frustrating for a lot of folks. Any other comments or questions on this?
So I just wanted to clarify, one, what exactly were they going to, what were they planning on sharing with us? And then what was their rationale or reasoning for not coming?
For not coming?
Illness.
Oh, it was illness. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah. And so they let us know, I think, yesterday or the day before.
You're not coming at all.
Well, it's, you know what? This is just...
It's just okay. Decorative.
All right, I'm going to keep sharing with you, Georgiana. I can do this. Illness which prevented them from attending today. I think really they were just, the hope was to introduce themselves. They did a presentation at the Transition Planning Committee, which some of you might have seen. I think it was going to be similar. Were you there for that one?
No, actually, I wanted to go, but I had to work. So, because
okay,
it was in the middle of the day. So I was, maybe if any of you, did any of you go? To,
no.
Can you share?
Thinking that they were going to be here, I thought, well,
I was at that one. They just did an overview of their PUNS process. Their PUNS outreach coordinator was there and kind of introduced herself. They shared their business cards, brochures, and then they were available for kind of a meet and greet or people to ask them questions afterwards. So I think today what they were hoping for was a similar process to just go over PUNS enrollment and then allow people to put a face with a name and meet all of you this morning. But yes, they were sick, so that's why they weren't able to come.
Okay, great. Is there a way we can fit them on the agenda in future meetings?
I would like to do that if we can, but... I think we have another something kind of in the chute right now, too.
Kim, you want to
do update on this, too?
Yeah, so we have a presentation scheduled for January, and Kim Fisher, it is the person that you connected us with. I feel like his name is Mr. Corbin, is that correct?
Yes, Kyle. Yeah,
okay.
Kyle Corbin. Yeah.
Yes, I was thinking Kyle, but I was like, my mind's not working properly. and he said his presentation is a pretty long one, and so we didn't know about lumping them on with that. In January, we have two mid-year presentations. He's in January. In February, we have two mid-year presentations. So we were looking at possibly March, but we know that you all might want to begin application discussions in March. So we can try if that's what you guys want. I'll certainly get it on the schedule, knowing that that's what you are asking for.
Okay. Is this something that would be of interest for a study session? And we have, I don't know if we've got any of those scheduled.
There's only one study session coming up on your schedule, but it's a joint study session with the Mental Health Board, and we need to talk about what we could use that for, because something else has come up that might be better mm-hmm. for that time. So you can schedule a study session at your time, the 9 a.m. And Mental Health Board members may be interested in this too. So, I mean, we can check about the availability of this room and work with you, Vicki. Are you saying let's add another meeting maybe as soon as possible? Or study session?
I hate to say let's add another meeting when I may be out of commission
Right. Okay.
For a, a bit.
But okay, well, let's work on that after the meeting. If folks are open to having a study session, we could do that, or we could have, you know, we could make one of these upcoming meetings longer.
Yeah,
we can do that to just
kind of, okay.
It might have to take stand-up breaks.
Maybe.
Okay.
I had one question. Maybe our Champaign County Regional Planning folks that are here could answer this question. There, and this may be a stupid question, but there in these tables that they provided, it says total puns per community and township and active puns.
I'm not sure you're coming through there.
Okay, I'll move it closer. It's working. Total. What's the difference between total puns and active puns? What does active puns mean? Does that mean people are in the process of getting funding? They have funding? What is that?
Yeah, what's the difference?
Well, I was going to dare to answer that question, but Kim has her hand raised. Maybe she'll answer it. She told me recently.
Okay.
My hand was raised for something else, but I was just, I'll answer that. But briefly, I was going to say the Prairie Land presentation is about 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. It's very short. So I don't know if you would maybe just want to squeeze them in when you could. I believe the total puns versus active puns, I'll probably get this mixed up a little bit. Total puns is anyone who has ever been enrolled in puns, whether they have been whether they've passed away or they did not qualify. And then active puns is people that are currently waiting for services. And this number is, I don't know that I would say it's always accurate, because I will see variances in this number from this own state's website. So I never trust it fully. They used to send us a much better report that showed us the listing of what people were requesting, but they didn't send that anymore. They told me that report didn't exist. But these numbers on this report and that other report never matched. So I always questioned what the true active number of puns was. But they did say that anybody in total puns is anyone who has ever been on the puns list in Champaign County.
Yeah. Well, you'd think that if they're having a 15-minute presentation that we would have about 45 minutes worth of questions after. So
that's true.
Something
I agree.
To consider.
I think we need to set aside some time, whether it's a study session or a slightly longer session. I think this is really important and has such implications for many of the people that Champaign County serves.
Yeah, well, so maybe we do schedule a longer meeting in January and just, you know, get this done.
I think so.
If everyone is open to it.
If you all are open to it. Okay. And then the other.
We could consider a study session, too. That's just.
Is there a lot on the agenda for January?
Just the.
Well, there's Kyle Corbin, which is a long presentation.
That's going to be an hour.
There's some stuff that I've held for a while. I could continue to hold it. It's a whole bunch of personnel policy addenda to catch up with law, but the law is changing again in April and then in July. So I could keep holding some of that for a few months, but we're going to get into the season of reviewing applications for funding, which, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all important, but I can hold some things for a while.
It's just a matter of whether we have an extra study session or add it on to the January meeting. It's just, which do we want to do?
But I can certainly hold some of that material. And this is something we can work on.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow. Are you around?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to be gone for the next few days.
Okay.
But I'll be back on Saturday. So I'll catch up after Christmas. How's that?
That sounds great.
Okay.
Well,
perfect.
Okay.
All right, moving on, notification of funding availability for 2025. That's on page 35 and 36. I guess that's just...
It's just so cool looking, isn't it?
Okay, and then the next thing on the list is old business, the expo wrap-up. That is very lengthy. The most lengthy thing in this packet, 37 to 63. any conversation about that. I just want to say that I think that Allison and Dylan did an absolutely fabulous job with the expo. They really did well with it. Very excited to see the results that they're getting. So, now they struggled a bit with getting evaluations from attendees. But people are, you know, they get their stuff and they're wanting to get out the door. So that's always a challenge, I think. Any other comments? Yeah.
Yeah, I had a comment. I have never read a report that was better than this. This is the best report I have ever read. It was not only a really spectacularly successful event with all the organizing and community building that was involved, but the report was just beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I wish that we could have this kind of thing with everything that we do. And I did make a couple of notes about things I wanted to note. One was there was a suggestion from somebody that they have an animal exhibit. So I had a little note that animals are popular. They're also a little problematic, but but I know one time when we had it at the vineyard, my friends that had a therapeutic riding brought some ponies and they had them outside, and that was really, really popular. So I don't know if there's any way to do animals in an outside environment. But the key things that came across that were so great from this was people's evaluations was networking and community building. So I know community is a key word that means a lot to you, Vicki. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what kind of community you're talking about here, because it's so disparate. But this was an event that brought people together and allowed them time. And if the one complaint was they didn't have enough time to network and talk to each other because they were so busy with their booths. You know, it was like, wow, that was so good. So kudos for a great event, and also for a fabulous report. And whoever suggested they do it twice a year, I think they should do it the other time, because this is a lot of work.
Absolutely. Thank you. Any other comments?
I was just going to say, similarly, thank you for the report. I think all the reports we get are amazing by staff as well as the expo folks. But this was, yes, very well written. Thank you. Great to hear that the vendor was so much better this year, the best expo, and cheaper. So thank you for that. That is really great. It seemed like everybody had a great time. So I just this is my ignorance showing about like the loss and money loss. Can you walk me through, like, on page 61, it says like here's the money in and here's the money out. Mm-hmm. So we have a decrease of like 6.8% of money out. So I just, how does this, is this something just for information we don't have to really worry about or anything? I'm totally ignorant about this. So if you could walk me through it, that'd be great.
So there are lots of community partners who contribute ideas but don't pay for as much as you and the Mental Health Board do. So as long as you and the Mental Health Board see this as a valuable project, that is revenue that we can use. What we've learned, like, everybody's costs are going up, so we can't really hold the expenses from one year to the next, especially for the service you just mentioned, the booth. Like, the vendor that we used to use went out of business during that 3 years of no event, or 2 years of no events. So, you know, and then there are other pressures on costs. So we really can't hold the costs down. The people who wrote this are the Boots. They're both professional writers. And I agree, it's really beautiful. I wish that they were our writers, but they have other stuff to do, coordinating the expo and doing our public relations stuff. So the they talked about this a few times during the year, and a lot of folks in here are active with the expo and know about this too. What we're seeing with revenues is a decline in the big sponsorships, and thinking that could be because there's so many other events for businesses to sponsor now, and like, that's good. I'm glad that there are so many little expos and fairs, and we take advantage of those. We have, Chris gets information about opportunities like to have a booth at a community event, and then we send Barb Bresner, the expo star, to sit at a booth. And it would be great if other people besides our staff were able to do some of this stuff, but it's hard. Like, the time commitment for putting the expo together is also tough. So So I don't think that people failed to bang down every door looking for the big sponsorships. I think they're just not there right now, and they may not come back. And I wasn't there, but this last steering committee meeting had some discussion, which led to like thinking about what is our core purpose. This was a DD Expo originally. It is local. So if we focus on the nonprofit exhibitors and what they need, we're not going to raise their booth fees. If we do, it would be very small increase because we want them to be there. That's the idea. And we also agreed want them to have time to network, which is difficult on Saturday when you already struggle to find staff to add to a booth. So these are pressures on the event that we're really trying to figure out, but I haven't been like super alarmed about this shift from the decrease in revenues and the increase in expenses, unless you and the Mental Health Board are okay.
Well, I don't think that anything of this nature is ever going to be self-sustaining. The agencies and so forth can't afford to put that money in to keep it going. So it's just something that we have to invest in my opinion.
And Vicki, you have been involved with it since the beginning, so you probably remember the days when that was their goal, to make it self-sustaining. And they really tried. I think times have changed, and for now, not focus on that, but focus on having a great event.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great. So we shouldn't necessarily be worried about it. And the other thing I guess I was thinking about, is there anybody, on the county board who would look at this and go, oh, we have to, we're losing too much money. The reason I ask this is because should we be thinking about advocating for that, this is just what the situation is. This is a valuable resource for the community. So I just worry that it's somewhere down the line, someone who is looking at numbers going, why are we spending so much on this, when they have no idea about how valuable it is to the community. Maybe I'm just too worried about those kinds of things, but
I worry about that stuff too, very, very much. And I don't, right now, I think that county board understands what this event is, and there, some of them were there and many are involved. I'm sorry, I should stop sharing the screen. We have, and I don't know, Chris, how much you feel like talking, and Dr. Fowler is actually ready to say something, so maybe I should wait. But really, I feel comfortable that the county board understands and supports the event. But we do have often questions about individual expenses from the auditor's office. And, I don't mind it, but it's really Chris who has to deal with it.
Dr. Fowler wants to speak then.
Well, yes, if you don't mind. It's related to visibility of the Disability Expo, and just based on Ann's comments and then on, was it Vicki who'd been down to Choate to look at their efforts to have some kind of an expo. Is it possible, is this online, are we able to share this with other communities that are trying to do what we're doing, which is to make community members aware of and able to access support services? Because the report itself is quite incredible. The event I've been to many times, I missed this year. I think it's really well done. And are other counties aware of what they might be able to do or could do. So what is our effort to share information about our Disability Expo across the state? Is it a model that is worth showcasing? And perhaps there would be other supporters of us based on our ability to spread information about what others could also do. Love increasing our workload.
Go ahead. Yeah.
It's like I can't stop talking once I start. So I would say we share so much information publicly. It's not easy to find necessarily, but it's there, and we're trying to make it more accessible as well. So getting to the document that you're looking for is not necessarily easy. I think our staff are very responsive to requests for, like, where's that thing? What did it say? But we make a lot more information public than most of our colleagues around the state do. And to my knowledge, no mental health board or DD board is, you know, pushing an event quite like this. But there are some. There are community fairs. I'm not sure how often they happen, but I know Oak Park has done something like this with they're kind of lucky. They have a hospital nearby that does really great work with people with DD called Riverside. So they work together to host a big community event. So there are other community events of this style. There's also the Schaumburg Abilities Expo, but it is primarily for profit. It's a very splashy, big event once a year. So maybe there's nothing really like ours. And how it's done, you know, is it's not clear in these reports exactly how they accomplish all this. It is, you know, I don't really even understand it. I think, like, the coordinators could help other communities. And because they're independent consultants, they're certainly free to do that. So, you know, right, maybe if we brag about this a little bit more, we could help both our coordinators and other areas of the state to put these together. So thank you for Susan, thank you. Sorry.
Sure.
I'm looking at Dr. Fisher, but you posed the question. Thank you.
Lynn, this is Chandra. Can I address the board real quick?
Sure. Absolutely. Go ahead, Chandra.
I just want to also note and actually say publicly what is unique about our expo is that it has people who are living with disabilities at the helm of the planning and the execution. And I think that that is a lot different than what other communities might have to offer, which does something that makes our event unique. I've been a part of several organizations where people not only have lived experience there, but they are the people who are living what actually should or should not happen. And so I think that we just need to note that that is what makes our community's expo unique, is the fact that we have people living with disabilities, not just on the planning of it, but on the execution of it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think is important that needs to be shared.
You're absolutely right. Thank you.
Could you wait just a second, Paula? I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, and I am under time pressure, so go ahead.
So I just want to say thank you for bringing that up, Chandra. And as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, like, the Going Home Coalition is always looking to share out things that are happening in various communities. And I feel like maybe highlighting this event and that it's run by people with lived experiences would be an excellent place to highlight what we're doing here in Champaign County, and I can absolutely get them connected with Carol. So,
well, Carol made me stay till the end of the last meeting, and then she didn't have time to talk to me about it, but she wants me to present on something else, and I would love to just shift that. No, not the thing that she wanted to talk about, but this, because this is very important. Thank you.
I mean, their focus is on increasing community, you know, also, shutting down institutions, but increasing community capacity, and this aligns totally with their goals. So I'll connect you guys.
Paula, is it okay for Paula to go? Yeah, I do have to go very shortly, so you're going to have to take over for me. Yeah, Paula, go ahead.
I know that people have a website and that you will be in for me named Dink. Maybe we can say people involved with this activity. I'm involved on my own, not for peace. And in actual things, contact us if you want more information about starting your own as full on the website.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Paula. I guess unless there's more conversation about the expo, we move on to successes. Anybody have anything this morning? And I'm afraid I'm going to... Yeah, come up to the microphone.
Hello, my name is Danielle. I'm an advocate. I'm excited to introduce myself and what I do, so that you can hear about the great things happening in our community. I'm part of a team of advocates with a goal to see change that helps everyone in the past or family. Me, our team has spoken at many events which have allowed us to spread our message of inclusion and rights. We've also spoken at St. Joseph High School to students who are graduating and told them about what to expect after school. Our team takes part in events like the Speak Up, Speak Out Summit, where we get the chance to learn more about our rights and the decisions that we can make. We use this information to help others by educating them. We also made an impact on local police by sharing our thoughts on how they respond to people in crisis in the future. We like to continue to bring awareness to the community about better ways to be inclusive, as well as connect with lawmakers to learn more about how we can be involved in policies that affect our lives. We also like to give more support to other advocates in learning about their rights and how they could be a part of change in their communities. I will turn it over to Kim Connell, who supports our team in our many projects.
Thank you, Danielle.
You're welcome.
Good morning. I'm Kim Cardinal. I'm the resource coordinator at DSC. This position was funded by DDB this fiscal year. I'd like to focus today on the advocacy piece of my position, which allows me to support advocates in breaking down barriers in their communities. Advocates have been spreading the word of inclusion to major community leaders, first responders, and citizens, with the motivation to ensure equal treatment for all. The advocacy team grows and changes, and in my new position, my project and my goal is to bring together all advocates across our agency to be a part of project discussion and execution. Advocates plan to educate each other about their rights and dignity for people with disabilities, to promote inclusion, and empower others through advocating. Advocacy programs play a huge part in the well-being and empowerment of everyone involved by recognizing the value of advocate contribution. We look forward to coming back again soon to kind of share more of the projects that the advocates have been a part of. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And did you guys have any questions for us?
No, we'll look forward to updates, though. Thank
awesome.
You so much.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a question.
Danielle or Kim, you said you talked to like community leaders, first responders. So did you all talk to the Urbana Police Department at that event that they were having? Or can you talk a little bit about which organizations and things that you've advocated to?
Yeah. Well, do you remember a Coffee with a Cop that we did? That event that we did, and they put on, I think the Champagne department has done that a few times, and we've attended those. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of talk about the way that police respond to advocates and to people in the community and to, you know, particularly the disability community. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of chatted with them about that and got to know what kinds of things they do in the community for citizens. And then we also, another advocate went with us to discuss with the Urbana Police Department about different kinds of changes that can be done to the response of first responders.
That's great. And it's great to see that you went out to St. Joe to talk to the high schools. So one of the things I'm always thinking about is like how, for high schoolers, like how school boards are being responsive to the needs of kids with disabilities or disabled kids in their schools. So it would be so great to see if you guys could address the school boards. So I have a lot more to say on that, but I won't say it publicly.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll contact you.
Yeah, definitely. And I can be contacted with any other questions you guys may have. But thank you for having us.
Good morning, Patty Walters from DSC. I just wanted to share some feedback. We solicited some input from our staff about the benefits or the value of the workforce retention bonuses for either new hire or retention from the grant that you all have provided to DSC. We're in year two of that grant, and also talk just a little bit in our FY23 staff turnover report, which would have been last July 22 through June 23, just some stats to show some effectiveness between FY22 and FY23. The number of staff that exited DSC in FY22 was 65, and in FY23 was 25. So there's a difference of 33.5% turnover to 13% turnover. Can't say that it's all attributed to this, but feedback that we got does seem to, you know, when people are considering other options and looking at some higher salaries, really kind of talking through with them that there's up to $1,500 worth of bonuses that you add to your salary during this time, and also is it a full year position. You know, sometimes they're taking positions that are less, so the hourly rate might be higher, but not the annual salary, and making sure that they're kind of considering all that. And we've really been able to maintain some staff with some of those conversations, so it's been really nice. In our SILAs in FY22, there were 16 separations to 11, so it's still a little over 14% change, but lower numbers. And in CDS, we had 12 separations compared to 8, so that was also like a 10% decrease. So we're really kind of watching that. And then, like I said, we sent some information out. 9 of 25 of the people that left in FY23 left for other employment with better pay, which reinforces what we know, that, you know, this field needs to commit to, you know, higher salaries and recognizing the professionalism that is required for the field, because they can, you know, they can find employment outside the field that may or may not be as meaningful, but can, you know, help support their families better. So I think the advocacy that's happening at the state level is, you know, really important. It needs to continue even as those conversations are happening annually. And then just to, it was kind of fun to get some feedback from people, and I was just going to share a couple of those. One person said that they were given the bonus when training was completed, and it was a small part of the reason why they wanted to grow in the company, that it helps fiscally, of course, and it shows me the agency appreciates people who see things through to the end. Thank you to all who were involved in giving employees these financial gifts. The retention bonuses have been extremely helpful. When I receive a bonus, I feel more appreciated as a DSP. In our program specifically, our DSPs have many years of training experience and should be paid accordingly. We still have a long way to go, but the bonuses help close that gap. Yes, this bonus was extremely helpful to me financially, and it made me feel like our hard work was being recognized. I'm very appreciative of the extra money, and it's helpful when we have a situation when it's needed. I can see how it would grab the attention of some of the younger people and nudge them toward hiring, but I personally am thankful for the extra when it comes. And the last one is the retention bonus has been beneficial in many ways. It's coincided with family birthdays and holidays in which it was helpful in making meaningful memories in my personal life. And also the bonus has made me feel as though DSC sees my work as worth investing and drives me to continue to choose DSC as my employer. And also recognizing that it did come from CCDDB and is part of a grant, that it was just really nice feedback. And sometimes you don't get it unless you ask for it. So, you know, we were putting some feelers out, and we're going to think about some of those just mini surveys in the future with some other things for input. So just thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that,
Patty. Good to know. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Becca Bachowski with Community Choices. I just was going to give a really quick update. Last week we had our quarterly family party. We did a holiday party this year. We actually were able to host it at the Esquire Lounge in downtown Champaign, which ended up being a really sort of lovely and welcoming space for everybody. And we had, I think, close to 70 people, or maybe slightly more than 70 people there, which might be a record for us. So those parties have they've gotten bigger over time, and I think especially since we've kind of come back from COVID and being able to do them in person again. This one in particular, we were just able to see, like, just kind of like stand back against the wall and see people sort of gathering together, families sort of talking to each other, sitting down at each other's tables, kind of like welcoming each other over. And it was a really lovely event, and it was a nice kind of reminder of why some of those sort of just like sort of simple informal things are really important for the community building that I think we all talk about and can happen in so many different ways. So we'll put some pictures of it probably in our newsletter in January. So there was also, the lighting was nice. The pictures turned out great. But that was really nice. And then I'll speak more formally to all of this in February when I just do the mid-year presentation. But I would say in the last 6 weeks or so, our transportation program has really like just very much exploded and been very busy, particularly, I think, during the day. We were kind of not exactly sure when people would want to use it most. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, but it's gotten a lot busier. People have been giving us really good feedback, and things have been running really smoothly. And so it's been a really nice a nice sort of resource to be able to offer people when we're encouraging them to do other things in the community. Like, hey, like maybe you would like to get a job. Maybe you would like to go have dinner with your friends and get more involved in things, and to say like, hey, we have this other resource that's going to make that thing that could be a little bit challenging for you, it could be a little bit scary, just that much easier. And I feel like people are really responding very well to it. So I just thought I'd give a little quick, it's been 6 months-ish, update. So thank you guys.
Becca, I have a question.
Yeah, absolutely.
How does your transportation program work? Do you have full-time employees that do the transportation, or does it work like Uber?
They're not full-time. They're part-time. It's from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and so we have 3 part-time staff, so three four-hour shifts per day. Huh. If somebody wanted, you know, we're fully staffed right now, but if, you know, it could be a full-time person, depending on kind of what that person was looking for or the hiring needs at the time. But folks do have to make reservations the day before by noon. We have a coordinator that is also a part-time employee, and she does all of sort of the scheduling, making sure all the rides sort of fit and people can get places. It's very logistical in the time needed, and does all the reminders with people. And so makes sure that people know that they have a ride and can do that in a number of different ways, depending on what works for the person, and does that communication with the driver so they know where they're going each day.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a lot of coordination.
Yeah. That was also, we weren't sure exactly like what that flow would look like, and it is a lot of logistics. So, but it's going well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Some folks online might want to give.
Do we have some folks at home that want to say something? Speak up. Do you see anybody, Lynn? No? Okay. As you can see, our president had to leave, so I'm taking over. And we just have a couple more things. We're asking for any county board input, but I don't see anyone here from the county board. How about mental health board input?
They're not meeting today.
No.
So they'll meet again in January when you do.
Well, okay.
Later that day.
So nothing from them. Any board announcements or input of any kind? Yes.
So the Going Home Coalition met in early December. They had Inspector General Charles Wright speak, and so he was speaking about a lot of things, but about cameras being installed at different institutions and reports. He did a great job of explaining kind of the processes that he works through. Many of the questions were sent in and asked of by people with lived experiences. So the recording, I believe, is on Going Home Coalition's website. So I would recommend anybody sharing that information out.
Is the Going Home Coalition's website just goinghome.org?
Good question. I think if you Google Going Home Coalition, Illinois, you will be able to find it. So it's kind of a somewhat under the Arc of Illinois, but it's this year funded through the grant from the Coleman Foundation. So
it is goinghomeillinois.org. So, yeah, that's great.
Okay. I don't know of anything else that needs to be covered. If anyone does, please speak. If not, I think we're going to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
Do we need a motion to adjourn?
No, I don't think so. No, I think we just do it.
Good job. We're good.
Great job, Georgiana. Yes, you did it. It's hard to keep track of the online plus, but
do people have their hands up when they're online?
Somebody to do with Zoom and in person. I thought we weren't allowed to do that. You managed to get that to happen.
Wait, what?
What was that?
You managed to get the in-person and online.
Oh, yeah.
It's every time we do it, something else goes wrong. It's at this point, it's not us. It's just weird things about when, you know, like
I other thought people that use the, that you said the board had to be here in person.
They do. Susan wasn't voted in to participate, but she could be.